Today on The King is Coming.
You see, we need to tell the world what happened to God. You know what God did? He came and became a man to this earth, and he died for your sin. That's what happened to God. But he's not on that cross anymore. He's been resurrected from the dead, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, right? In Luke's Gospel in chapter 8, we read these words, "And it came about soon afterwards that he began going about from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, Mary who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means." You know, you wonder how Jesus did his ministry? Well, he was supported by these dear women. The Apostle Paul was also supported by the Philippian church. And our ministry also needs support as well. We'd ask you to consider a year-end donation to this ministry to help us do exactly what Christ has called us to do, to spread the gospel across the world. Thank you. ...in a country in crisis. The reason I wrote this is because I not only want to help Americans, I want to help America. And I want Christians to understand how you can understand what God says in His Word regarding our great nation. And what can we do to help turn it around? I talk about in there America's Christian roots. Is persecution coming? What does God say about nations? And specifically, does God say anything about America in the Bible? I want you to get a copy of this book. It's available on our website, to be equipped in how you too can not only be educated on what America's all about, how it relates to Scripture, but how you can help bring hope to our great land.
For any donation of $20 or more, ask for your copy of Jeff Kinley's newest book, The End of America. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com. Thank you for your support.
But we're witnessing this whole thing, this prophetic pattern happen in real time. You're living it right now. You know, sometimes you go, wouldn't it be great to live in the first century? Be there when Jesus was there and the apostles and all this great stuff. My friend, we're living in the times they dreamed of. In the time right before Christ would return. We're living their dream, in essence. Now, we don't want to live too much of their dream because they got persecuted, right? We're like, wait a minute. We'll take the meat, throw away the bones. You know, we don't want to do all the stuff you guys did. But yeah, and we may face that as well. 167 countries in the world today are actively persecuting believers in ways that are unimaginable. We've been given a pass for a while. You know why? Because up until recent decades, our government had our back. I mean, basically, culture, right, and the government, they believed in Judeo-Christian values, main things that we believe in. But we're not playing on the home field anymore. We're the visitors right now. And there are ways I think we can take it back. But let's move on. We're experiencing these stage-setting events with greater velocity. So in order to complete this whole idea of deception, I believe Satan has a rollout pattern in the way he's doing it. Let me give you 4 ways real quickly. Number 1, Satan is deconstructing morality. These are 4 deceptive strategies in this grand overall arching deception. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." He's reversing, he's changing the prices on the price tags. Remember George Orwell's famous classic, 1984. And there are 2 phrases that came out of that I think are very apropos for today. The first one is called newspeak. It's the government's official propaganda machine. We will tell you what to think, we'll tell you what to believe, and we don't allow any dissident voices out there. Don't stand up, don't post, don't do anything that would go against that. We saw that in World War II with Germany's Ministry of Propaganda, headed by Joseph Goebbels. And then more recently, Biden's failed Disinformation Governance Board. Does that not sound totalitarian to you? I mean, that is so dystopian, it's incredible. I'm glad that thing died. They tried it, it failed. Another phrase, not just newspeak, but also doublethink. Orwell said doublethink is taking 2 opposing principles or concepts and making them equal and making them indistinct. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. That type of thing. Ignorance is strength. Now, where do we see that happening today? Here are a couple. How about this? Murder of the unborn is health care. Murder of the innocent is reproductive freedom. Murder is my right, my basic human right. How about this? A child isn't a child. It's a clump of cells. It's a cyst. It's unwanted growth. I have to get rid of it. Here's another one, another double think. Love is love. Love is love. Homosexuality is normal. Even though Romans 1 says it's unnatural. Hey, what does God know, right? What would he know about humanity? We know better, the world says. Gender is now fluid. It's no longer biological or scientific or determined and fixed at conception. It's fluid. You can jump back and forth between realities if you want to. Now, this is a dangerous statement. I'm going to go ahead and say it here. I hope you can resonate with this. There is no such thing as a transgender. There are people who are sexually confused. There are people who are emotionally distraught and disturbed. There are people who are demonically oppressed. But there is no such thing as a man becoming a woman or a woman becoming a man. And it's time that we just clear the scales from our eyes and recognize that in our world today, gay marriage is not marriage. It is not marriage. Even, no matter what any Supreme Court may say. But most churches and most Christians, quite frankly, let's be honest, we're afraid to say these things for fear of the backlash. And I read what Proverbs 29 or 24 verse 25 says. It says, fear of man is a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. John said in John 12, 43, the Jewish leaders, it says they loved human praise or human approval more than praise from God. And let's be honest, it's hard these days. Our culture, as I said, has turned against us. We are being marginalized. Do you see this? Being pushed to the exits in our culture. And we're very unpopular. Christians are very unpopular today. Just like Elijah was unpopular. Just like Nathan was unpopular when he came to David. We have to speak what is real. Today, another double think, men can have babies today. No, they can't. No, they can't. Only women can have babies, okay? Reality is no longer based in facts, as we've mistakenly presumed since the dawn of time. Reality is what you perceive it to be. It's your truth. It's your reality. And I have to respect your reality, no matter what it is. You know, it used to be where, you know, the old joke back in the 60s and the television shows where there were a guy who thought he was Napoleon, you know, in the insane asylum. And there was also another guy who thought he was Napoleon, and they had to keep them separate so the two Napoleons wouldn't come together, right? Listen, people have problems. We're born broken. I was born tragically broken. We're born with sin natures. We're all bent in certain ways, and our sin nature takes us down paths. And all of these people, whether it's a woman seeking an abortion or whether it's a man who thinks he's a woman, you know, regardless of that, there are people that God loves. And Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for those people. And they can be changed and they can be saved. They need Jesus. That's what they need. A second deception is Satan hijacking truth and virtue. Hijacking. Look at some of the ways that Satan has literally, forcibly hijacked some of the great principles of Christianity. Acceptance. That's a great thing. Unity and diversity, it's a Christian value. Compassion, on and on and on. All these things, even down to martyrdom. They're hijacking martyrdom, what it means to give your life for a righteous cause. They said, no, this is what that means over here. You see, in a world that embraces lies, fantasy, and insanity as normal, the truth teller is seen as a threat. So when they've redefined, and Satan is hijacking these values, he redefines them. A generation arises that knows not God, that knows not the Bible, that knows not these values. They accept Satan's version of these things. And this is, by the way, why the home is so important, why Christian parenting is so important. Now, we can't control what our children do, but we can certainly create an environment and be intentional and be in their lives. Oh, gosh, there's so much we could talk about there. But truth, we speak the truth in love. We let God do the rest. Here's a third way of deception. We talked about it last night a little bit, serving the planet. Climate change is baked into this $742 billion bill that was just released by our government. The globalist agenda includes an indoctrination and a shift in thinking with regards to the planet and environment. See, again, you exist for the environment. The environment doesn't exist for you. God gave Adam and Eve a garden. He said, tend it. So yeah, there's stewardship involved. But we are the crown of God's creation, created in God's image, mind, body, mind and soul. We have morality. We have the built capacity for relationship. We have intellect, emotion, and will, just like God does. Dirt doesn't outrank us. A leaf on a tree doesn't outrank us, right? But in the new agenda, again, climate change is just code for, this is another way we can control people. So the way they're going to do that is to try to tax people into oblivion for supposedly harming the environment and producing emissions. By the way, at the World Economic Forum, all these global elites that fly there in these private jets, right? And they're all for, you know, saving the environment. They go there just releasing all these emissions. They get there and lecture the rest of the world about emissions. And then one of their tenets, by the way, is equality and equity. Everybody's the same. But even though you pay $67,000 to attend, you still can't get in to the back room where the real elites are. So there's even separation in their own hypocritical scheme there. There's going to be kill switches on new cars in 2027. And if you try to deny the whole climate change philosophy or agenda, then you're called a Neanderthal, you know, a climate denier, or worse, a flat earther. Where did you come from, right? Crawled out from under your rock. But this is part of Satan's deceptive agenda, is to get us to worship the world. And again, as Jack said last night, Romans chapter 1, they worship the creation instead of the creator. That's a direct result of denying the full evidence that God has given to us based in scripture and creation. By the way, you read Revelation 6 through 19, you know what you find there? You find climate change on steroids. Compliments of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's his planet. The earth is the Lord's and all it entails. And 2 Peter 3 says one day he's going to burn it up with intense heat and create a new heavens and the earth. So, unfortunately, the whole climate change, they're going to go into meltdown during the tribulation period because it's all going to be taken away from them. There's not going to be a single green thing left. Here's the fourth thing about this. We've got to move really quickly here. Redefining human identity here. Again, the whole idea of I'm not a creation of God. Think about it. You're not a creation. You're an accident. You're a happening. You're moist molecules walking around, right? And for that reason, if there's no God, then I can imagine myself to be anything I want to be. Change my gender? Sure. Who's there to stop me? There's no God going to tell me that. I can be anything I want to. Now we see these people walking around called furries. You seen the furries? They're people who identify as dogs and cats. And, you know, a friend of mine told me at their son's high school, there's a girl who identifies as a cat on a leash. And her boyfriend is walking her along at lunchtime. They're showing up at work in their furry uniforms. They're little litter boxes for them there. Not kidding. So if you can identify as a furry, then why can't you identify as an alien or a wolf? In fact, there are people who identify as wolves. You can look it up. I mean, people howling every morning, that kind of thing. See, when God is removed from the picture, anything is up for grabs. And Satan wants to redefine what's happening. So do you see what he's doing here? He begins in these concentric circles. It begins in the outer rims. Now watch this now. He begins by redefining your relationship to the planet, then your relationship to the economy, then your relationship to one another, how you can talk and define one another. And then finally, he goes in for the kill shot in the tribulation period. He goes after your soul through the mark of the beast, through worshiping him, which leads us to the third pillar here. We got to move real quickly here. The third pillar in Satan's strategy is to prepare for his man of sin. I want to flash on the screen here, by the way, some things about Antichrist that we know from Scripture here. He's in the Bible. He's a real person. By the way, ever since I wrote my book, Interview with the Antichrist, I get mails from the Antichrist, okay? Now, he's not the real Antichrist, all right? But two people who really think they're the Antichrist, who are, you know, correcting me on certain things, telling me, here's how it's going down. You know, here's my real name, that kind of stuff. I don't respond, all right? I'm not going to get into a tit for tat with the Antichrist or, you know, or Napoleon. All right, anyway, so over 100 passages of Scripture that describe him. He's the most prominent end times figure besides Jesus Christ. 36 times he's called the beast in Revelation. John says he's definitely coming. Jesus says he's definitely coming. Paul tells us he's definitely coming. The spirit of Antichrist is among us right now. And yes, I too believe he's alive today. I don't know how old he is, but even if the rapture didn't happen for another 40 years, he's got to be alive. Because no five-year-old is going to assume control of the world and bring peace to the world, right? Not even Greta Thunberg can do that, right? So, yeah, he's very likely alive today. Where does he come from? Well, the Bible tells us he comes from the people of the prince who is to come. He comes from those people. Who are those people that destroyed the temple? They're the Roman people. So he'll come from somewhere within the old Roman Empire. So likely a Gentile. We don't know for sure, but likely a Gentile rising out of a Gentile nation. He will complete the Great Reset, at least for a while. He will be a Messiah that a fallen human race is looking for. And you wonder what his personality is going to be like. He's going to be a great orator. He's going to be a great speaker. He's going to be a charmer, masterful speech maker. He's going to be a man with a plan for the hour. He's going to be a highly intelligent person. I like to say he'll have the charm of a John F. Kennedy, the mystique of a Barack Obama, but the arrogance of an Alexander the Great and the soul of Satan. He'll be the devil with skin on. And the Bible says he's coming. In fact, the Bible tells us he will draw his energy and authority directly from Satan. There are only two people in the Bible that have ever been actively energized by Satan. The first was Judas Iscariot. Scripture says Satan entered him. And the second primarily is Antichrist. It says he will receive all of his authority from Satan. I believe he'll assume the mass of that authority in the second half of the tribulation period. Scripture tells us he'll be assassinated, suffering a fatal head wound, and he'll come back from the dead. And this is going to be the convincing proof to all of those billions in the world, this is the one. This is, for who can come back from the dead but God, right? Jesus, nobody was there to see him come back. You can watch me on live television. Watch me, you can stream it live. I'm coming back from the dead. And he does. And the Bible says that's when he enters the Jewish temple, the Holy of Holies, plops himself on that mercy seat and says, where's your God now, Jews? He's going to proclaim himself to be the God of the world. And the Bible says he's going to utter blasphemous things never heard before. Can you imagine when Satan finally gets in control of the world, the things he's always wanted to say about God, to the world, you'll hear it. We won't, but they'll hear it during that time. Blaspheming. Words coming out of his mouth. Matthew 24:24, Jesus said, false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders. If by possible to deceive the elect, they won't. But if by possible, you know why? Because they're going to be convincing signs and wonders. Same word used to describe the signs and wonders of Jesus are used to describe the signs and wonders and miracles of Antichrist. Watch this. You say, will they be real? Well, I'll tell you this, two things. Number one, during the tribulation period, the world's going to return to a time of overt, regular, miraculous signs. I mean, fire from heaven kind of stuff. They're going to see this through the false prophet who accompanies the Antichrist. They'll see it through God's two witnesses that'll be calling down fire from heaven and doing great miracles. The world's going to be accustomed to miracles and to miraculous divine judgments coming from heaven. But are they real miracles? Some argue that they are. Some argue that they're just great deceptions. Look, here's the bottom line. Doesn't matter. You know why? Because everyone believes they're real. They believe so much so that they will lay their soul and spirit down on the altar and pledge allegiance to the Antichrist. That's how real they're going to be. And the Bible says he's going to be worshipped. Revelation 13:3-4 says, the whole earth was amazed. When's the last time anybody here was amazed? The whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him? And we are in the era of conditioning for that time. With every crisis comes the chaos the compliance, and then finally the control. Let's go to his final pillar here. The final pillar to bring about this great global reset is he has to remove or silence the church. We are in the way. And I'm talking not from a political national standpoint. I'm talking primarily from a spiritual standpoint. We stand in the way. Now, in the first century in the Greco-Roman era, they had this phrase called damnatio memore. And it means to damn the memory of someone. It was their version of cancel culture and of tearing down statues, okay? And if someone did something condemnable in the first century, they would go back and erase their name from all the record books. They would sand off their names from the columns that they were emblazoned in. In fact, some of the Roman emperors had their names removed as well. Damnatio memore. Satan wants to do that to the church. He wants the church to be silent. Just shut your mouth and go away. And our response to that is never. We want to be like Peter. That's right. We want to be like Peter, a man who failed in a way that you and I will probably never fail, right? Who stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached the greatest sermon ever, and 3,000 people were saved. The guy who said, who caved before a servant girl, stood before his own brethren and preached his sermon. We want to be like Peter and John, who stood before the Sanhedrin and said, we must obey God rather than men. We cannot stop speaking of the things that we've seen and heard. We want to be like those kind of people. We will not stop speaking. But the Bible says that during this global crisis is coming, and I believe, by the way, the global crisis is going to be the rapture of the church. I think this is going to be the crisis that's going to be the final thing that just breaks open the dam, and it enables Antichrist to rise to power. Now, it won't start the tribulation because his peace treaty with Israel will start it, but it'll make it possible. It'll create such a global chaos. Can you imagine in every strata of society what will happen when the rapture occurs? Don't have time to fully unpack this passage, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says that the restrainer will be removed. And when the restrainer is removed, then the Antichrist will be revealed. It says in verse 6 and 7, and you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness, the spirit of Antichrist, is already at work. Only he who restrains, that's the Holy Spirit, I believe, will do so until he, the Holy Spirit, is taken out of the way. Now, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit leaves the planet. He can't leave the planet. He's omnipresent. He's always here. Where can I go from your spirit? David said, right? So he's going to be here. It's just that his unique influence through you will no longer be here. He'll still influence, but not through you. And that will be what allows Antichrist to step on the scene. People say all the time, I think I know who the Antichrist is. And I always say, and I think you're wrong. What do I do, Jeff? Real quickly, four things. Number one, be discerning. Now is a time for you to get married to your Bible. We need to be word people. You know that? I think the greatest need in the church today is biblical discernment. You know why? Because there's a pandemic. You talk about a pandemic. There's a pandemic of biblical illiteracy in the church today. And biblical illiteracy leads to theological bankruptcy, which leads to spiritual anemia. So if you want to know why the world, the church rather, is so sick and can't have an impact on the world, it's because primarily they don't know the Bible. They don't know the God of the Bible and the Bible itself. Barna did a study not long ago. He said that 18% of Christians read their Bibles once a week, but only 14% read them every day. Only 14% of Christians read their Bible every day. During COVID, he did another study. That 14% dropped to 9%. We went home, but we didn't reconnect with God. You see, no wonder we don't know what's going on in the world around us. Christians aren't connected. So we have to be discerning, be equipped. That's why I love this church. You're getting equipped. You're getting the tools, the armor that you need every week. Secondly, be connected. Hebrews 10, 23 and 25 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What day? Well, the day of Christ's return. So as we can see these signs, these things happening, God says, turn it up. Dial it up to 11. And when we come together, you know what we're doing? We're building each other up. There's no time for tearing each other down. We don't have time for that. It's time to build each other up in the body of Christ. Are you doing that with your brothers and sisters? Are you a part of a body that's doing that together? Number three, Be courageous. As I talked about Peter and John and Joshua, who was courageous as he entered the land. In an age of cowardice, we need courageous Christians. In an age where people don't know what's going on, we need disciples that are done with compromise, done with mediocrity, done with cultural Christianity. It's too late in the game, folks. We're in the 2-minute warning. It's time to get in the game if you're not in the game. And make sure you're doing something great for God. We were in Mexico a couple of weeks ago and for vacation, and we're walking through this beautiful little chapel that had these paintings on the wall. And one of the paintings was a portrait of Christ on the cross, crucified on the cross. And I looked over and there was this dad, he's probably early 30s, had a little 5-year-old girl with him walking hand in hand. And they're walking through this chapel, and the girl looked up at her dad and she said, "Daddy, what happened to God?" And I waited to see what dad would say. Nothing, total silence. They kept walking. Before they left, she tugged on his shirt again and said, "Daddy, what happened to God?" You see, we need to tell the world what happened to God. You know what God did? He came and became a man to this earth, and he died for your sin. That's what happened to God. But he's not on that cross anymore. He's been resurrected from the dead, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, right? We need courage in the world today, courage to believe in this age of skepticism, courage to walk and stand in an age of corruption and compromise, courage to proclaim the truth, to herald the message of Jesus, courage to persevere. A.W. Tozer said, "A scared world needs a fearless church." We need to be a fearless church. Last point is this: be expectant. Be expectant. Jesus is coming back. I don't know when. Could be today. Hallelujah. But the early church had this spirit of expectancy. They were ready. It's like a woman before her wedding. She's dressed. She's ready. Her heart's beating faster. Does your heart beat faster when you think of Jesus coming back for you? My friends, it is time for us to be Daniels and Esthers in this world, to make a difference in this world. And only a bride who is ready for her bridegroom can do just that. And I say to that, Maranatha. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you reveal so much truth to us. We are the better men and women, boys and girls, because of it. Thank you that you are the God of heaven and that scripture is going to be prophesiedly fulfilled exactly as you said it would. We love you. We thank you. I bless your name for all these wonderful people. In Jesus' name we pray.
Like no other person in history, Jesus Christ stands alone as the most unique and influential figure of all time. From his prophesied birth to his impeccable character and sinless life, to his claims of deity, sacrificial death, and miraculous resurrection, he is unequaled with no rivals. He is truly the incomparable Christ. For any gift of $45 or more to The King Is Coming, ask for your copy of our Incomparable Christ DVD set. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. World Prophetic Ministries is recognized as a church and religious organization by the Internal Revenue Service, and thus all donations to World Prophetic Ministries are recognized as charitable contributions under the IRS code. Thank you for your support.